Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio.
We have a Wednesday edition of Sue's News coming up in the next hour. I have a few things I want to toss out at 4 o'clock, as we often do. You know, we have this food thing. Fred has discovered some unique foods, Sue, and he has brought them to the table. We were going to do that today, but we were thinking, because Jane's going to be here on Friday, we might hold off, because she's like the good source for sampling and taste tests and stuff like that.
And we use the term food loosely in
well,
this case.
In this case, I think we do. Yesterday, I had Mike Kehoe on the phone talking about a bunch of different things, including the special session and everything that went on there. And, you know, we have tornado relief that was certainly something that affected Missouri. We have the Attorney General on today. It's a big week here for state officials, Andrew Bailey. But here's the difference. He's with us in the studio this afternoon, Andrew, and I appreciate you coming to see me in person. How are you?
Hey, doing well, Mark. Thanks for having me on. Thanks for having me in studio.
I did mention this to the governor last night. You know, you guys were both so great in February to host me. I came up to Jeff City. You showed me around your office and the building, and the governor, you know, took some time with me. I was thinking about that this week because I can't believe that was that many months ago. It was February.
It was cold then. It's
it was
like
very cold. It was a snowstorm day, remember?
That's right. Yeah, but when are you coming back? That's my question.
Well, I would love to get back. I know how busy you are, so let's talk about some of these things. Let me play the audio here. I don't think you have headphones on, but I think you know what Alfred Montgomery has said, and you're asking for him to resign, the sheriff of St. Louis. Here's his defiant response.
Missouri Attorney General Andrew Bailey issued a public demand for my resignation by noon tomorrow. Not based on proven facts, not based on any court ruling, but on what's been described as widely published and disturbing allegations.
Well, there are disturbing allegations, but he's being defiant.
I was elected by the people of the city of St. Louis to serve as their sheriff, and I intend to honor that commitment. I will continue to do my duties as the sheriff and protecting the courts. Thank you.
All right, so there he is, Andrew. Now, this guy has been accused of so many different things. I will say this. I criticized the Post-Dispatch, but Joe Holloman at the Post has been pretty good at exposing a lot of this. By the way, the best defense that I've seen from a member of the Board of Aldermen, Rasheen Aldred, says, I don't know that it rises to the level that the state needs to step in and tell him to resign. I mean, he didn't steal money or anything. That's the best defense that they have.
Wow.
But essentially, he kind of has stolen resources, hasn't he?
Oh, absolutely. And look, this level of defiance, I mean, we heard the same thing from Kim Gardner after he filed the same lawsuit against her, right? And then days after she was thundering from the pulpit, she hit the eject button and was gone. We're going to see the same thing happen here. We have six credible allegations backed up by facts, evidence, more than 80 pages in our petition that we filed at 12:01 p.m. today.
Oh, gosh.
More than 140 individually numbered paragraphs that outline all of the facts and all the evidence. And it's all evidence that we are in possession of that we will put on a trial if we have to get to that point. But look, let me say this as well. If you notice what he didn't say at his press conference yesterday, he never denied all of the allegations that are in the public domain. That's consciousness of guilt. Number two, he's admitted to most of them. In his social media posts and in his interviews, he has conceded all of these points. His own words, his own statements against interest, which get a higher level of veracity imputed to them in court, work against him and prove the allegations. So at the end of the day, it is time for him to go so we can restore the rule of law in the public corruption. And the people of St. Louis deserve faith and confidence in the institutions of public government. As long as he's in office, that can't happen.
You know, it's amazing to me that people are trying to defend this, but I guess that's the pattern here in St. Louis. But in your mind, because he has been investigated for ordering the handcuffing of a jail official, he rolled golden dice on one deputy to say, you're going to have your job or you're not going to have your job. He has had a deputy pick up his kids from school. He bought a nice SUV for himself as well. 12,000 worth of golf carts. Now, they were used. I give him credit on that one. $28,000 in new badges. So for you, is it a culmination of everything, or is there something that really jumps out and inspired you to get involved in this particular situation?
Any one of the claims we've raised individually warrants his removal from office, but the cumulative effect creates a timeline that we have to move this quickly. It's time for him to go. Let's talk about that illegal arrest. The sheriff of St. Louis City does not perform normal law enforcement functions like 114 other sheriffs in the state of Missouri.
Right.
They are explicitly prohibited in section 57.450 to not enforce the criminal code of the state of Missouri.
I knew it was that number, by the way. I knew that number off the top of my head.
But the point is, it's not that just that he's exceeded the scope of his authority. He's violating the statutes that restrict his authority. When you're cuffing a jail administrator who's tasked with keeping the inmates safe and keeping us safe from the inmates, he is interfering with the administration of justice, committing a felonious restraint kidnapping, and putting the rest of his at risk. Not only is it illegal, but it is worse because of the individual that he cuffed. Let's go to the other instance in which he arrested an individual, a licensed security guard whom he disarmed in violation of that individual's constitutional right to keep and bear arms, who was performing a licensed security guard function in the city of St. Louis. I mean, again, this guy is detrimental to the criminal justice system and public safety in St. Louis.
So what's the process? He does not resign today at noon. He's being defined. He held the press conference yesterday. Some members, the wacky members of the board, are sort of, I think they're even a little challenged on defending him. So what's the process now?
So we filed the writ of quo warranto. That's the removal lawsuit. It's pending. You know, I anticipate that all the judges here in the city of St. Louis, and rightfully, will recuse themselves. The Missouri Supreme Court will be tasked with appointing a new judge to preside over the case. And we have a petition pending right now, not only our, you know, six-count petition, but we've got a proposed order requesting the judge to sign for immediate removal, where he will be sidelined and removed from office and pending adjudication.
Who gets put in?
Well, that's a great question. Yeah, and so, you know, there's a couple things there. Number one, you know, I think the court would likely identify a point of contact that they can use, because the courts depend on the sheriff's office to assist them in the administration of justice and secure the courthouse and their courtrooms. But number two, this has been a legal dispute that we adjudicated in St. Louis County when Wesley Bell was elected to Congress and Sam Page said he gets to appoint pursuant to the county charter. And Governor Parson and I said, no, there's a state statute on the books. We litigated that and we won. And what the court said there is, I think, relevant. But, you know, I would defer to Governor Kehoe, and I've been in constant contact with Governor Kehoe's office, and I'm certain that he's in constant contact with the mayor, and we won't get to that point of litigation. And an appropriate appointing authority will be identified who will appoint a successor to Sheriff Montgomery.
Yeah, like I can't remember if the mayor was quoted in here, but I'm guessing she thinks, do you know independently if she thinks it's time for him to go? I would think so.
I mean, the mayor's busy trying to recover St. Louis from not only years of neglect, but from tornado. And how dare this sheriff, you know, interfere and create all these distractions and problems when the city is on the precipice of some really great forward progress and needs that time to recover.
Yesterday was the 53rd anniversary of Title IX. And I was not here last week to comment on this, but we, of course, covered in grand detail, not only with you, but Jamie Reed, the whistleblower from WashU and Children's Hospital, this transgender issue in the Supreme Court. What a victory for you, for Missouri, for the country on that topic last week with the Supremes, Andrew.
Yeah, and Mark, you've been on this story from day one,
from the
beginning. I applaud your work on this, illuminating this for the public and your listening audience. Missouri led the way. Jamie Reed came forward and started a national conversation. My office launched a first-of-its-kind multi-agency investigation, called for the moratorium, promulgated a rule just to try to inject some kind of sanity to prevent the administration of these powerful chemicals that are harming kids, irreversible surgeries that would deny them the ability to ever enjoy the full spectrum of adulthood, stop the gender mutilation. Ultimately, the General Assembly passed Senate Bill 49. My office successfully defended that statute at the trial court level against constitutional challenge. To date, we're the only state that successfully defended a statute like that at the trial court level. Supreme Court comes down last week and says, look, states have a rational basis to protect kids from gender mutilation. It is not sex-based discrimination to say you can't harm kids by administering dangerous drugs that have no proven validity to work to cure what they purport to
heal. It was such a no-brainer in common sense. But now you have a situation, I don't know if you follow this, California, a judge has ruled that California violated the civil rights of female students by allowing trans athletes to compete. So that's sort of a separate but related type issue.
Yeah.
But I read this story in the LA Times this morning, and the response by the officials who are defending it is really just comical. It says, you know, the school board president out there said that the department's finding does not protect women and girls. It harms them. That barring transgender students from participating in sports based on the president of the United States deciding who is woman enough is both discriminatory and unjust. Look, this is, as I've said, not an 80-20 issue. It's a 90-10 issue. Overwhelming numbers of Democrats. Even Gavin Newsom has had to admit this. So, but that's not something Missouri's involved in. In that case, does that have to eventually go to the Supreme Court as well?
If it does, we'll be prepared to offer support. Yeah. Look, at the end of the day, celebrating that 50-year anniversary of Title IX, that is a major landmark civil rights piece of legislation to protect women.
That's the whole point.
Protect the whole point. And how dare these activist clowns try to erase womanhood from our vocabulary, from very existence. And that's what they're trying to do by inverting the language. It's not the president who has declared this. It's the people's elected representatives in Congress 50 years ago. And the president's just supporting what the law says.
I was amazed. And it's been so busy. And I was out last week, as I indicated. I did a couple of weeks ago cover like this little battle between Riley Gaines and Simone Biles. And I don't know if you followed that. But Simone Biles, I guess, deleted her ex page because she comes out. And she swiped at Riley Gaines, and she lost that battle altogether. And she lost a lot of support because of her position on that. She tried to apologize, but that indicates to me how popular our side of this equation really is in all of this.
Yeah, the worm has turned, and it's really turned in the last 24, 28 months, I would say. And again, Missouri was leading the nation in that conversation, and I'm proud of the work we've done, and I appreciate you covering it.
Jamie Reed was so important because I had been talking about this issue well before anything happened with the whistleblower report, but that really vindicated a lot of what some of us were saying. One other issue before I let you go is you're calling for third-party content moderators when it comes to social media. What is that all about, and how would that work?
There's an unprecedented, historically...
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Unprecedented consolidation and concentration of power in Silicon Valley, where they hold a monopoly over the algorithms that censor speech on big tech social media platforms. President Trump has ended our lawsuit, ended the vast censorship regime emanating from the federal government. But we still have to worry about corporate censorship. That it's more pernicious than at any point in human history, because when King George shut down a printing press in the colonies, he was stifling one form of speech, the written word, and the whole world knew he had done it. But when big tech social media oligarchs turned the dial and deplatform, de-emphasize, shadow ban you, it's not only your First Amendment right to speech that's violated, but your listeners who want to hear from your audience. And it's a multi-dimensional form of speech: body language, images, written, spoken word. And so we've got to fight back. The way to do that is to break up the monopoly. And we're not telling the big tech social media platforms how they should curate the feeds. That would be a violation of their First Amendment rights, as identified in the net choice decision that came down last June from the United States Supreme Court.
But you're saying they need to have someone that does that.
Just provide consumers options. Let me choose. If I want the NRA to moderate the content, to feed me information that I like because my values align with them, or if I want the Catholic Church to do that, then I should have those options. And if I want PETA or some left-wing organization to do it, then our colleagues on the other side can do that as well. But the point is, it enhances the consumer experience, and so it's a consumer protection issue, it's an antitrust issue, and it's the best way we have to build a wall around our right to free speech.
So is this a specific Missouri issue, or is this another one of those things where a bunch of states are involved?
This is a Missouri thing.
Okay.
So we are the first governmental entity to my knowledge, in the world that has proposed this kind of drastic action. And again, we're not violating the big tech social media First Amendment rights as identified in the net choice decisions. I always see these brilliant legal minds who have never actually read our proposed rule opining that we're running afoul of the net choice decision, when I question whether they've read either one.
Likely not.
Yeah, likely not. And the point is, like, look, we're not telling them how to curate their feeds. We're just telling them to give us the opportunity to select who we want to curate our feeds.
And what is the process then on that?
So the rule has been been promulgated. It'll go into effect here in the coming days. I'm certain that the big tech social media companies will likely want to litigate that issue and our authority to promulgate that rule. But in 2015, the Missouri Supreme Court handed down a decision that said that the Attorney General's office has broad consumer protection authority to promulgate rules to protect against exactly this sort of thing, protect against this kind of concentration of power that harms consumers.
Excellent. Great to see you, Andrew Bailey. Hopefully this is not revealing too much because we know each other a little bit, and every once in a while I get a text message. I got a great text message a couple of Fridays ago because I think you were listening to the Reardon Roundtable on that day. That's must-listen-to radio. Even the Attorney General of Missouri agrees with that. Great to see you in person. Thanks for swinging by. I appreciate it. Keep us posted on all this.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EAR-POD-1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.